There's many different ways to do our practices. I mentioned last month or so. You know, if you go on YouTube, there's a lot. And the different yoga practices, you know, are through so many different lineages that each one's maybe a little bit different, right? But particularly the nine breaths practice. But I like doing a fairly extensive one. And then sometimes afterwards we've done like Vajra recitation and Wheel of Joy practice. So I find that helpful for, you know, energy. So I'll go over it again. That. Okay. So, like, Vajra fist, you know,
people
know me, I'm generally wearing two rings. Sometimes I wear my Vajra and bell ring, you know, to be fancy. But a lot of times, you know, people are doing this kind of yoga just to remind us to, you know, you kind of a little bit close that there, and then like that. And I'm not going to stretch myself today, but, you know, accomplished people doing in a retreat sometimes, you know, can have very straight arms, you know, but we're not trying to do it perfectly. We're trying to just do it the way our, you know, practice. So, of course, you know, we've got air in us already because we breathed in a little bit, and then I'll just talk, then out here, and I should say, traditionally women are doing the opposite side. And if you want to do it that way, I'm not the Vajra police. So, you know, if you want to do it, just same, fine. But so one arm going down the back of the hand, and then breathing in, it's touching your elbow, then up to stimulate these channels, then. Breathing in again and out, back of hand or your wrist actually, and that's the basics. This is real retreat style, nine breath. Because if you're sitting with a bunch of people, if you do this, you're going to hit them. So a lot of times in smaller settings, you know, teachers will just kind of like, you know. But this is really doing, you know, a full, like you do it at home. You know, you're really, really extending like that. Then there's a visualization that goes along with it. Does anybody remember? As you go down. Yeah, sun. Sun. What gender is the sun and what gender is the moon? And Buddhist Tantra. No, we're forwards. The other group is backwards. And Tantra, all the Buddhist Tantra, the sun is feminine and the moon is male. Yeah. Huh? Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Of course, you know, we know about waxing and waning moon, but and you know, we're basically talking about colors and they correspond to drops. So in Buddhist Tantra, red, you know, is definitely female, and male is, you know, silvery white. So those correspond to certain fluids and essences, right? Okay. This is important because from Tantra point of view, the absolute essential nature of the mind, these drops, we say drops, and you know, they're not literally like drops. They look like drops, but they're like little, maybe even atoms. You know, it's like drops is a metaphor that exist in the heart chakra. You know, the absolute. You know, that exists there. You know, and that's what the clear light mind is going back to. You know, so we want to establish a relationship, of course, not with these drops. These energies, which also different levels of the energy move too, right? And the idea is to bring the energy, as you know, Rinpoche was talking about, into central channel, right? So the reason we're doing the nine breaths isn't just, you know, to you know, breathe better. It is, but to bring the breath or the wind, and the mind's going to follow the wind into the center. Yes. That's right. Yeah, thank you for saying that. People see it, but then when you bring in the, oh, that's the symbol, then they can carry it with them. Yes.
So what would a red drop? I mean, it's a part of the
what does it mean in Tantra?
Yeah.
Red drop would be like, you know, what the mother contributes, you know, to the birth. And white drop is what, you know, the male contributes to the birth.
What?
Human being or the Buddha birth, you know. So in most, just a little more theory and then want to move again, you know, but in all of the tantras, you know, with the exception of Kala Chakra, we're trying to manifest an illusory body. So we need these drops to manifest an illusory body. And as people know, or maybe you don't know, but as people know in Kala Chakra, we don't talk about illusory body. We skip right over to empty form. But we're still using the drops and central channel. And the other part in Kala Chakra that Rinpoche talked about, if people were here, was we're doing the breaths also to notice how the breath is changing from one channel to another constantly during the day, like that. So, so our breath system and the different changes of time and so forth are coordinated. Pretty, and you know, it's like we usually don't think that way, right? We just, you know, I just take my Sudafed and hope for the best. But you know, we can actually become sensitized to these energy shifts because we want to become sensitized to, you know, when it shifts into the central channel, you don't want to drive past that. Enlightenment doesn't look like a big neon sign. Enlightenment's like driving through Texas. You know, so yes, one last question. We don't cultivate illusory body. We go directly to empty form. We have an empty form body, like that. Okay, so you can add the sun and the moon visualization, and then we'll do something else. Okay. So if we end here, generally, you know, we might sit like this with hands on thighs like this, you know. If we're doing more different things, we might, you know, go back to like having Vajra fist. But if you want to just, you know, end after this nine breaths, you know, you could end like this. You could go back to Dhyana Mudra if you want to. Or just, you know, adept siddha style, you're just sitting like this. Yes? That's a good question. You know, usually, you know, you're just doing the nine breaths around once, but, you know, I don't think it would kill you to do it twice. It's not repetitive. You wouldn't just keep doing it, no. Yeah, that's a good question, yeah. You know, but, you know, I could even see you doing, you know, like 27, you know, round or three, if, like, you're really... Yeah, you're not keeping doing it. Yeah, yeah. I don't know. Maybe, you know, some circumstances you would do a lot of breathing, but not this one, yeah. Then sun and moon, and then we add, you know, your imagining, like releasing, you know, anger and attachment, and the last time when, or, you know, you're releasing delusion when both go out. That's why it's kind of forceful like that. So, yeah. Grasping and anger. And delusion. You notice that, like bodily, if you're doing it, that your abdomen should really drop, right? You know, if you're still trying to get a flat tummy, that's a mistake. So, the reason we're doing this is not to look like strange birds, but then you really have to, you know, relax that pelvic region and relax your diaphragm and abdomen. Yep. easy. So this practice is one, you know, I learned from Dujin Rinpoche's lineage, right? So I don't know if Jada Rinpoche actually does this one, right? I don't know, you know. So you know, you say Jada Rinpoche, let's do 9 breaths or something, you know. You probably do something completely different, even though Jada Rinpoche, you know, of course, studied with Trisha Rinpoche and so forth, you know. So a lot of times people will receive, just as an aside, you know, we study with different teachers who have different expertises, you know. So, you know, you're going to end up picking up kind of a little bit from each in some sense, even though maybe the main thrust of a lineage is a certain way like that. So sometimes people are surprised because they think these lineages are something like political parties or something, but they're not. So, like, the lineages, different things are all intertwined, actually. So, like, the Hayagriva practice, the Sarojay's Nyingma Hayagriva practice, right, the most central thing. And then also Namgyal, Vajrakalaya, you know, so, which existed before Tsongkhapa, you know, and all that. So they're much more mixed than people think, you know, when people get all kind of sectarian. And so as a teacher, you want to, like, if you're doing a certain practice, you want to master that practice. You don't, if you got a certain practice, then you stay, you know, kind of mastery. That makes sense, right? Okay. Any questions? Got it? No. Oh, okay. Yep.
If you start with the left and start with the right, does that mean that the colors and the channels are also switched and the red is now on the left?
I think so, yeah, in some systems it would be different too. You know, in most of the texts and diagrams, you know, people won't be surprised if they're generally written or illustrated from the male side, right? I mean, that's not a big surprise. But honestly, I've been with teachers and heard teachers teach both sides. So so one feels like, no, you really gotta like do the gender thing, and other people say, no, we're doing non-dual practice, it doesn't make any difference, you know, so blah blah blah. So that's the fun thing about this practice is that there's always a lot of debate in Buddhism, like, you know, about certain things. I'm not sure if that, from my side, just editorial, I'm not sure if it, at a certain level it makes all that much difference, you know? You know, it's kind of like, you know, preference maybe, but maybe at a certain stage in people's practice it does make a difference. So at a certain stage in one's practice it does make a difference to work with gender, and then at another level, like doing Kala Chakra and Dzogchen practice, which don't talk as much about channels, and then you don't do it. What's hard doing this comprehensive style of practice is, I know, confusing sometimes, is we'll say, like, do it this way and get it right, and then a year later when you master that, we'll go, well, that was all wrong, or that's not enough, or that's superseded by this practice. And then we'll say, do this, master this, and then we'll go, okay, now that you've mastered it, you know, you got that, but that's kind of incomplete, so do this practice, right? Has anybody ever had that experience with me, or, yeah? Not yet? Yeah? Well, you're in for a good ride. Yeah, because we always think, well, I got, you know, finally it was, you know, finally I was able to get that, and then, you know, it's, well, that was really nice, but now we're going on to this.
That's important because,
Yeah. Yeah. It's also to undercut, you know, our sense of ego and pride, like, you know, I'm a big shot. And there's always another mountain, you know. So Chinese poetry, they sometimes say, you know, get to the top of the mountain, you see 10,000 more peaks. You know, so, you know, unlimited like that. Then there's something called Vajra recitation. So I'm always saying Om Ahung. We have Om Ahung on the tanka there, white, Om, red, Ah, blue, Hung. generally, those are seen in the corresponding to body, which generally means here, and then Ah, throat, and Hung, heart. So this is body. This is speech. This is mind. I know you all know this, but the cultural matrix we're in is so strong that we always think mind is our brain. Mind, our nature, clear light mind, fundamental awareness mind is seen as here. So doing just basic Vajra recitation is a little different. Like we're breathing in Ah, breathing in Om, excuse me, holding Ah, and letting out at Hung. We've done this before, right? Okay, so like you're not saying it. You're visualizing the letter as luminous. Your mind actually takes, we could say mind, or Buddha, you know, reality takes the form of white Om. We take that in on our breath. Then we like hold, we're learning how to hold. That's red Ah. And then letting out on Hung. So a big part of doing advanced practice is just at least getting these like syllables to begin with. If you want to do them in Roman letters, you know, that's fine. Classically, you know, like you'd at least get those Roman letters down, you know. So we can see, you know, the Om. We're missing the little, the coverings, missing a little bit of that top kind of little swoosh there. Yeah. And I did a large Hung back in the dojo also, and that's one style there. So this we do continuously. So you're visualizing you can have the sound, but you're not saying it out loud. Then the letter is actually in front of you, and it's contained in a sphere of rainbow light. I know. Aren't you glad you came today? Yeah, so. Yeah. Yeah. So, like, it's in a rainbow tigle, like a rainbow drop. Yeah. Oh, Patty. It's as big as a billion universes and as small as a teeny little zonk from an atom. I don't know. You know, usually, though, it's, I'm just teasing you. You know, usually we're starting off with most visualizations, you know, are kind of arm length, you know, just kind of right here, a little bit this size, you know, just like that. Later on, we learn how to expand and contract them. That's the dreamy part of it, you know. But usually kind of arms, you know, like this, kind of like, it'd be traditionally like you put out your hand. So we all have probably bigger hands than they did 2,000 years ago, you know, so like that size, you know, one there. Huh? No, just right in front. Yeah, this is right in front. Just like, you're looking straight ahead. This is straight ahead dreaming, okay? We're doing Dzogchen style now. This is straight ahead. Goes in. So you posit the Om, like white, you know, within a kind of rainbow bubble. You know, like the good witch that came down for Dorothy. Comes down, yeah. And then, you know, on the left, in breath, in, then the red there, and then let's just practice that, and then we'll go from there. Just Om, right? But silently. Yeah, and but you're holding this. And you're breathing in Om. Yeah, that comes apart. Yeah, yeah, that's good. That's a good idea. Then, yeah, you're breathing it in. Yeah, and then when you're holding, you know, when you get it in, like, okay, dissolves into your body, right? You know, like earlier today, I said we're doing embodiment style dreaming, right? So, like that. Yeah, they're just drowning out. You know, they don't have to do that. Okay. That's easy, right? So, just, can we do it for 10 minutes without getting tired? Yeah, I think you can. I think you can do it. Yeah. easy. A lot going on, right? You have to do a lot. Steps, yes. Yeah, steps. No. Yeah, well, I mean, for one thing, we're... Yeah, it's not. Yeah. Home, yeah. Now, actually, I misspoke. I mean, they're all kind of coming in on the in breath and taking their place and then going out. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Let me grab some water. Yeah. They can't. Well, this. Yeah. Okay. When this. Yeah, that's the way I do it. But yes, you know, when you're training to it, usually, like, you just, in some sense, you almost have to do one at a time. You know, you just go, and then, yeah, and then, yeah, and then, you know, you're just, you know, it's coming in, and then, then holding. You know, it has to be broken up into steps. It eventually feels like a cycle, right? You're just kind of cycling this. So the letters and the bindus are kind of just appearing and then dissolving into you, and the breath and the appearing and dissolving and breathing. It feels like that. Cycling. Yeah. That's what they in Hatha Yoga they say mandorla. Yeah. Yeah. Well, once again, like the Vedic Tantra and the Vajrayana Tantra was slightly different because they have to be, you know. they don't have to be, but these are basically spherical, like this style, you know. So if you look on the internet, you know, or actually if you start seeing them spontaneously, please make an appointment. But it's good, you know. But yeah, it's usually like, you know, looks like a double rainbow, you know, circular rainbow with but it's spherical. Have you ever like seen a rainbow from an airplane? It's circle, right? Yeah. Yeah, so like that. Easy. So, you know, when doing real practice, you lots of times have to break it down and into smaller bits and work with it, and then, you know, because if you try to do, like, say, well, that sounds great, it should be just effortless and, you know, spherical, and because sometimes people in visualizations, you know, it's not going to look, you know, their circle might look like a pear, okay? So that's okay, right? You know, it's not like, oh, shoot, what, you know. So don't, you know, in real practice lineages, we know that, you know, our experience and our realization is evolving, and it isn't always fixed that way, like that. So when we're talking about these practices, you know, we're generally talking about norms, right? Like, just like if somebody learns a language or learns how to do something, we can say, okay, you're within the range. Well, we'll let you drive, you know, or like that. But, you know, every realization, in a sense, is personal, and you're going to have your own particular thing. And that's why, you know, you need to work with a qualified teacher, because we don't always know, like, are we, like, totally off and driving the wrong side of the road, or have we personalized the practice where, you know, this is how our experience is. As musicians know, like, everyone sounds a little bit different. It's amazing, like, you just hear people after a while, like, I know classically, and you could actually say, God, that sounds like Isaac Stern, and or that sounds like Heifetz or something, you know, and it's the same concerto, and almost exactly the same. How can you do that? We're amazing beings. But so everyone's going to play and express things slightly differently, but still there's some kind of, like, that's still kind of correct, you know, still, like, balance like that. That's important. Otherwise, become Buddhist fascist fundamentalist, and you don't want that. Yeah. Okay. Next thing, can we do one more energy practice? Mm-hmm. Okay. Voila. Okay. Found it. Okay. So, lots of times, people will be practicing, like, with three of these, you know. This actually is Korean fan, but I liked it because it's got this. So, you know, this yellow would usually be like white, right? But, you know, this is sometimes called, like, Gakyal Wheel of Joy, okay? So, and lots of times also you'll see these with many colors, you know, many spirals, right? Also, just FYI, like that. This is a little different than the yin yang. You know, it's not that they're not like little dots in here. These are three energies of Oma Hung. Yeah. So this would be white, you know. So, but a lot of times people will see these on chö drums, you know, chö practice, and also on the large temple drums. There are drums like this where they're banging away. Maybe people most familiar with them on the, you know, the cutting off practice, the chip practice. So you'll see sometimes that painted on the drum. Also a good fan. So what we want to do the practice where kind of after or as part of continuing Vajra recitation, we're bringing it down to this energy here, just below the belly button. So we're not just breathing in and breathing out the energies of Om Ahung. We're bringing them down here. Okay. So just description is they're coming down our central channel and coming down to this chakra, and they like each other. So they start to spin. So this isn't like static. That makes sense, right? Yeah. It's revolving. So there are many different ways you know, we're relating with chakras, right? Once again, Buddhist-style chakras are generally different than Vedic Hatha-style chakras. And to make matters more interesting, the majority of tantras you know, like, are based on, like, Guru Samaja, like, the chakras are the same color, right? But like they're all they're totally different in Kala Chakra, and they're totally different in other tantras. You know, so when people go, oh yeah, that's this, and that's like, well, and which tantra system are you talking about? You know, which yoga are you talking about? So that's important because then people think, well, it's got to be this color or something. Okay. But, you know, the colors that we're always using basically, you know, are white, all American, right, these colors. In this case, you're bringing them down here and feeling the energy, you know, you're bringing down to your belly, basically. Just, so I think it's easier sometimes, you know, in martial arts, they, you know, Chinese, Japanese, Tandan or Tandian, you know, this energy here is really important in Vajrayana and then obviously some martial arts, right? To do this practice, we also have to be powerful. So, yes, we have to be smart. And yes, we have to be very open-hearted, you know, but we also have to be powerful and balanced and energized. Do you agree? Yeah. If you're just smart, which is good, a lot of smart people, we're all smart, automatically smart here, so, and then we've automatically, everyone's got a big heart, right? Steve's making a face. But probably where actually people are a little bit deficiency is in energy. Okay? Because generating the energy to do the practice in a consistent, you know, way and to store it is difficult. You agree? So a lot of times we, you know, Lamala, I know what to do, you know, but, or my heart's really open, but when it is, people just run over me, or, you know, your power center hasn't been generated. And a lot of times people in yoga, nice people, you know, don't want to own their power. But we have to if we want to be free, help others get free. So at this point, it's easiest to start your power, you know, from your belly, not from your head. So we're not trying to outthink people, not from, you know, here, outspeak them, not from our shoulders, so we're out fighting them, you know, from here. This makes sense, doesn't it? Deb knows what I'm talking about, yeah. So we're trying to, you know, this is like a generator. So we, in this style of yoga, we're looking at the chakras from the standpoint of being a generator, like a turbine. Okay, there's a way of looking at chakras from a whole different ways, you know, like flowers or energy centers, the Buddhist style, actually, they look like there's channels. They look like tree roots. Okay, they don't. You know the hatha yoga things. You show the yogi and like little lotuses. They each have different. They're not. They're kind of spokes, but they're not spokes. They look like little roots going out. You know, so. That's why it's so easy for us to get tangled up because they're not just simple little wheels. They're kind of these, you know, just like our nerve, you know, like, you know, medically too, we just have all this lymph system, nervous system, blood, and it's not neat and tidy, you know. So, but looking at from this point of view, then we're talking about building this kind of inner turbine. So not so much flowers or not so much, you know, traveling between we're not trying to, right in this point, we're not trying to build the whole energy matrix. That's another practice. So that all your channels get opened. We don't have time to do that right now. Did everyone hear your question? Or? Oh. It is stored in the Vajra body, but just like our imagination, we can't say the Vajra body is separate from the medical body either. Just like, when couples come in and complain about the relationship, even though we can't really point to the relationship, it still has something to do with each other. Like that, it's weird. Rinpoche was talking about, it's like we're visualizing these things and they don't seem to have a correspondence with the medical body, but then, based on that, we're able to do, really interesting things, with our embodiment. So yoga style, tantric yoga style, we usually talk about embodiment. When we say the body, we're talking about embodiment instead of a corpse, or something. Think embodiment. So, like when we say kaya or in Sanskrit or, ku, body in Tibetan, it means embodiment instead of just body. Dorje Khasong means Vajra, command protector, but Kusong, means body protector. So the people in the Sangha here are very, very good at, doing a task, but they might not be, helping me get up from my chair or something, or they might not take a bullet for me, something like that. The body, so the body protector also is, of course, the inner imaginal world too, not just person. So that's a little different. But that still means embodiment. It doesn't just mean medical corpse body or something. That's the totally weird thing. It's like, well, how does the mind embody the mind which seems to have, the knowing which seems to have no form, no shape, no color, no location, interact with something that seems to have form, shape, location, right? How do we do it? Okay, so that's what we're really working out in Tantra. So we're doing it, just a little hint, we're doing it because we have this thing in the middle. We have the this Dharmakaya, right, complete open space mind, then the Nirmanakaya, this manifestation body, and then there's this interesting thing called Sambhogakaya, right? Sometimes translated as enjoyment body, but I think it's best to think of it as dream body, the imaginal body. So so many of the Vajrayana practices have to do with building the strength of these different imaginal bodies, sometimes Bardo body, or all these different bodies. So that the kind of Nirmanakaya and Dharmakaya are functioning together. It's the in-between. That's easy, right? So the mind can interact, the formless can interact with the form because it has the in-between. That's easy, right? just say, we can do things because we can imagine them. basically. Easy. We all imagine things. You imagine you're going to go somewhere after this. You imagine, you know, what you're going to do the next day, right? In Kala Chakra, a little bit, we say, you don't even need that intermediary, in a sense. The whole world is just empty form. It's just completely imaginal. That's easy to say. It's not. It's really weird if you take it to its consequence. Do you agree? One last question. Yeah. Who? Me or like anybody?
So this is what often. This is what the monastery is teaching. This five layer.
You mean just in general, or?
Well, that's what the monastery is devoted to, the study and the cultivation of the five layers of the Lord, which you're teaching us today.
Generally, they're in most all of Tibetan Buddhism, they're monasteries, which are basically, you know, university monasteries, where at the monastery you're learning how to get along with others, a very tight community, and you're also learning to do what you're told, which most people in America don't like because it's prison, and you're learning the texts and learning, you know, the rituals and stuff like that. And then on top of that, you have to go on retreat. So some monasteries have their retreat centers very close to the monastery and some, you know, a little bit further away. But to do the yogas, generally, you need, you know, you don't, you have, you don't, you're not studying, you know, you're not, you're just doing the practice and you're generally, in most cases, on your own, unless you do retreats with people. But when we say monastery, you're learning how to, like, you know, just kind of work with, you know, your basic ego, which is so strong. You know, we always want to do what we want to do when we want to do it. We don't want anybody telling us not to do it. It's really hard practice. Hard practice is not your knees aching. Hard practice is, you know, getting along with others. So, but in retreat, this is where you normally do these kind of yogas.
Like
even the Nyingma monasteries, Kagyu, mostly there are sitting practices, but mostly you're doing a lot of intense study and you're learning ritual. And, you know, in Tibetan style, you're meditating on your own or you're going on retreat. So there's always breaks in a monastic schedule to do retreats if you want to do them. But then generally people do a certain course of study and then do a solo retreat, which usually generally isn't in the monastery unless there's a retreat center built into the monastery. Like Sarah J has a retreat center kind of built into the monastery and they'll lock you in there for 3 years. So you're not studying or doing anything. The idea is you've studied everything, so you've memorized it. And then these yogas, like you're hearing now, are completely oral tradition. There are yogic texts, of course, but you know, generally, then they're going to be, you know, orally transmitted. There are things you can read. Yeah.
So you're going to have a retreat meeting that will discuss how you retreat yogas.
You would have, yeah. There's always going to be a retreat master. You know, yeah. like that. But, you know, it's not that people are familiar, they're familiar with, even in Matsar, you know, people are familiar with the text in a sense and familiar with the different practices, but it's like this, it's like people hear about, oh, that's, you know, and even attend, like, wedding ceremonies, and then they read vows, you know, and they go, okay, this is, people get married. Then people get married and take vows, so we read about it, right? Being married is totally different, right? You don't know it until you've done it. So that's the real yoga, right? You might be familiar with, like, oh, okay, this is solemn practice, and here's the pictures on the temple wall and stuff like that, but it's totally different when you're on a retreat. A little bit different. I mean, you hopefully know something. But here, like retreat, it's all shut up in time. But, you know, generally we say, okay, we'll take our books with us, right? And in a very strict yoga retreat, no books. If you haven't memorized it and you haven't listened to your teacher, yeah. So people traditionally, they study real hard and listen a lot. And then they would, you know, then they go on retreat and you're left with your, you know, your own effort, your own devotion and what you've remembered. People, you know, on group retreats, people will check in, you know, it's not like, they're not waiting always until you go nutty, but yeah, okay. So yeah, sometimes. Okay. Anyway, so let's do this last practice. So take a little break. Yeah. So just really, I won't talk you through it. I'll just tell you how to do it. So we're doing Vajra recitation, and maybe do a few times. We're kind of, you know, purifying, building up the energy, and then when you're ready, then there's a sense of swallow and then pushing down a little bit. You don't use your hands. I'm just demonstrating. You know, so there's a sense of bearing down, and you're bringing the colors and the mantras in and mixing them all together, and then they start. Then they activate and start to move, right? So lots of times people, you know, hold that, you know, you want that experience of, you know, you're taking them in and then a little bit swallowing, you know, a little bit closing here, then pushing down and then allowing them to come together and swirl. And then at least you want to get that experience of, you know, starting the engine. You know, sometimes it's like old style lawnmower. Doesn't start. Doesn't start. Shit. And then finally, and you got it. That's, you know, then okay, then you can stop. You know, but you generally want to go until the engine's stopping. You don't want to just go, okay, shit. Yeah, don't you know, get it started, okay? Okay. Well, you're doing the Vajra recitation. I'm just saying you might do the Vajra recitation several times, so you see that sense of rhythm. You know, you're kind of just on the starting line or something. And then you go, okay, let's go down. You know, and then you're locked and loaded, right? You want to get that feeling of your, you know, like, I don't know, like anything, something where we've warmed up, you know, like we're getting ready to swing something over our head, like choo, I don't know, like Scottish games or something, you know, Renfair, where they're swinging this ball. get out of the way, you know, and then kind of blonk, and it goes. So you want that kind of energy where you feel it started, but you're building up to it. See, so but it comes to a steady state where you're kind of running like this. But to do that, you have to, you know, prep and then kind of, you know, lock and load it. It's somewhat sexual, okay? So that's a little modeled on, you know, kind of how do we get aroused and how do we contain our energy, you know, like that. And how do we maintain the bliss, right? Yeah. You know, they're just this, and you know, when we step back, you know, from, you know, all Indian yoga, whether it's a Hindu or Jain or anything, you know, it really has pretty much the common, you know, structure. They just kind of, they're squabbling about like, well, real realization, self or no self, you know. So there are just so many practices around, getting, you know, preparing, getting into rhythm, and then, you know, going for it, and really like, you know, quick breaths or something like that, visualizing, actually doing, you know, all these different things, and then release and holding the bliss or releasing it, or, you know, so there are just tons of different styles. Yeah. Yes, yeah, right. So, yeah, it is, you know, it is. You know, it's just, you know, I should say, there are just tons of, you know, different paths. You know, I'm not saying they're all equal. I know there are a lot that, you know, get to the top of the mountain, but we really can only ride one bicycle at a time. You know, maybe great masters can really master a couple or really different, almost totally different programs. You know, really incredible teachers can actually do that. We can respect all the different things. Okay, I'm familiar with this, I'm familiar with that, but this one I'm kind of, this is the, you know, meal I'm ordering, you know. But yeah, good point. But it's important you get that kind of like, like that. Good idea? Okay. Practicing visualization, of course, sometimes it helps to have like eyes closed, but generally these practices, you know, are done just looking eyes wide open straight ahead, okay? So we should do that for a few minutes so we at least get the idea. So if you look at like pictures of, you know, particularly like Padmasambhava, Guru Rinpoche statues, just looking straight ahead, right? Kind of maybe a little fierce looking, but, you know, eyes wide open, right? So, of course, some practice is done eyes closed, some kind of half closed, 30 degrees, some even looking, you know, looking up, you know, but generally the style practice where we're just, you know, you're just straight ahead, right? Eyes open, you're just, you know, gazing like that. For some people it's easier, for some people harder. So with the closed eyes, people try open up eyes, give it a try. And then your jaw's going to be relaxed. So your lips are open just slightly. So you can be breathing in through the nose and out through the mouth if you want to, just to remind yourself to do that. So So, like, for example, once again, if you look at, like, a statue of Guru Rinpoche, there's this kind of, you know, it's not, you know, it's not quite wrathful, not quite amazed, not just looking relaxed, but it's actually kind of relaxed, amazed, a little fierce. Combine those, okay, like, you know, just, so the mouth slightly, jaw relaxed, right, eyes relaxed, open, you're not staring, but it's just kind of open to anything. Can we try that? Just, yes. Well, just for simple, just for doing the Wheel of Joy practice, we're just visualizing the Om Ahung, you know, coming down to our belly and starting to swirl together. So the starting to the swirl is, you know, suggesting that's a way of kind of jump starting our engine. We want to feel kind of started like that, and then kind of humming along. It could come in within one breath, and then we're kind of swallowing. You know, there are different kind of things in Vajrayana, you know, stuff too. You're locking it, you know, just think of swallowing, and then just kind of, you know, making sure it goes down here. It's like we're swallowing it, you know, like, all right, good, you know. You could do it again. See, if you're doing it, like, you could do it. It all comes in, like your food, your energy is coming in. And you're holding it just for long enough to feel you got the juice, you got the energy, right? So that's, once again, my, you know, GI idea of yoga. So you're... You know, you're seeing it coming in, swallowing it, taking it all the way down, stomach, you know, just to be a little biological. And then you're feeling the energy getting started. Yeah. Yeah. Being here at Dona Dargi with all the Sangha, that's why we love it. I don't want to be anywhere else on the planet. You know, this is it. Well, you know, like, really in these workshops, you know, I've been really emphasizing imagination and energy. Because, you know, other places were always emphasizing bodhicitta, being nice, and emptiness, being real smart and everything. But, you know, if you don't have the imagination and the energy, we won't keep going. You know, we won't work with ourselves on a deep level. We won't work with the difficult people. We won't figure out how to get the sidewalk fixed, you know. So we need that, you know, that real energy and imagination to, we need nutrients. So it, you know, it's really like just, you know, like raw energy. I always like thinking about food and fashion. So I always think, you know, I'm not thinking food, I'm thinking fashion. So, you know, like what would white energy be like, and what would red? And there are tons of associations in Tantra and the different, you know, teachers and texts, you know, about, you know, what the colors mean and all that. So, you know, I can give all those, but I want people to just... At some point, you'll have to feel, well, this is how I internally feel energized. You have to make it your own. You know, if you just go, well, white means space, and, you know, and, you know, it's, then, you know, it won't, it'll just feel like, you know, organized religion or something, you know, so we want, you have to somehow go, well, okay, traditionally maybe it means this, but, you know, when I'm doing white, you know, I'm thinking, you know, something else. Me, I think vanilla ice cream. So you love vanilla ice cream. So, you know, you might have your own spin, so you feel, you really feel energized as a result of doing the meditation, right? Yes. Yeah, so. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But I
don't. Then I started asking all kinds of regression questions, like,
is it supposed to be clockwise? Because that fan literally messes with my mind.
Yeah,
this one goes this way.
Yeah.
Yeah, because. Yeah. White, white, blue, red.
Yeah.
And then I have to. I have to look at it.
Well, yeah, that's why. Yeah, sorry, you know, yeah. No, unless we're doing maybe Bonpo meditation, doing everything left, you know. Yeah, so this is just kind of like just example template, you know. So the way, you know, like, once again, like, you know, the big lollipops with the peppermint swirl, you know. So we know in general what the template is, you know, because even as human beings, we're all pretty much alike, but we have to personalize it, you know. So different things will come up, you know, and like that, you know. It's kind of like if you know the kind of standard way to do it, then you can improvise too. We have to improvise, yeah. Okay. So why don't we walk for 5 minutes and we'll do closing secret meditation. Is that okay? Yes? Okay. Daily life, you know, we usually say whoever, people who win are the ones left standing. And Dharma say the people who win are the ones left sitting. So, thank you for still being here. Okay. So, just want to do, you know, a short Mahamudra Dzogchen presentation. Go into more detail in the retreat. These meditations are whole systems in and of themselves, you know. So, not going to go into that, except you know, the different ultimate meditations are still going to stress you know, certain aspects of our experience of reality of the mind. In Gelug style, we emphasize you can't find it. You know, it's like, that's really big. Like, don't make it into anything. You can't find it, okay? So it's interdependent, you know, just like, don't forget that, you know, emphasis. And a lot of times in Kargyu or Ganji style Mahamudra, we're really emphasizing spaciousness. Don't forget, it's like space, you know? It's unlimited, you know. When I was fortunate enough to take some Mahamudra teachings from Kala Rinpoche, I was emphasizing, you know, an unlimited quality of the mind, very spacious. So it's funny, like, just it's like with Kala Rinpoche, looking at him, you just felt like you were kind of looking through them like a window looking into the mountains, you know? It's just like you could see, just like, you know, interesting. So, you know, of course, Mahamudra emphasizing, you know, one taste, also unity of samsara, nirvana. And Dzogchen, you know, big emphasis on all of those, but, you know, really big emphasis on primordial purity. You know, so we say sometimes great perfection, great, you know, so this practice is particularly good for, it's not really an antidote practice, but emphasizing our innate goodness, our primordial purity, like nothing's wrong, you know, because we're always going, something must be wrong. The samsara, I must be wrong or I wouldn't be here, you know, something's wrong. And so, well, nothing's wrong. although you can get it wrong if you want to. So, but, you know, and also, you know, manifesting, you know, primordial presence. So not just being in the now, not just being present, but presence, a little different, okay? So there's more, but, you know, those two things sometimes call, you know, like Torcho cutting through and Torcho leap over, but leap over is like... You know, you're not leaping over something. It's like you're taking a leap, right? If you take a leap off the diving board, you're just like, look, here it is, guys. Okay. So so often in our practice, we're kind of thinking, I hope no one sees me, or you know, or no one can see my mind because you can't see the mind, you know. But and. Spontaneous presence, where I'm saying here, you know, here it is, display, right? You know, spontaneous display, light rays, you know, like display, right? We're really interested in, you know, it's like, it's the show up world, it's the show me world, right? So that's big emphasis, particularly in Dzogchen, right? So, of course, there are many practices in a way to, you know, approximate or work with that, but you know, there's that is that quality of just being like naked and out there, okay? So you know, in this meditation today, like, you know, we're imagining like you're on stage, and it's not like you're sitting quietly being present, but you're presenting. That quality of, here it is, guys, right? Complete, like you're open to everybody's applause or criticism, right? You're on stage, you're present, you're transparent. There's nothing, can't hide now, right? A little different than just saying, I want to be in the now or I want to be present. You could say, I could be in the now and present, but I want to sit in the back. I'll just sneak in and, no, you're... Life is called on stage, right? That's, you know, what we're talking about in leap over. You're taking a leap. There's no turning back, right? You've jumped out of the airplane. Has anybody jumped out of an airplane here, skydivers? No, good. Yeah, people said, have you ever done skydiving? And I said, no, I got married and had kids, so I didn't need to do it, so... But it's like you're out, you know. That's you're out. You've done it, you know. You're out. So with that kind of mind, so we're, you know, there's a real sense of openness, open eyes, open ears, open mouth. You know, not catching flies, but open. You know, open heart. You know, very. You take a very open stance like that. And then, in addition, we say something like, that's, of course, hard to do. It's like when friends go, you know, that you ask them for advice. Like, what do you think I should do about blah, blah, blah? And they say, oh, just be yourself. So we say, oh, just rest your mind. Just be natural. uh, you can't teach Mahamudra and Dzogchen, you know, you just, you kind of, you have to, oh, just be yourself. And at some point you have to go, oh, what the hell is that? You know, the only way to do it is like, you know, put yourself out there, right? But we say sometimes, just let the mind rest naturally, you know, rest in the nature of awareness, rest in primordial awareness, rest in Yeshe. But you can't really rest in Yeshe, right? You know, we're not like, you know, we're not really doing that. It's kind of like, just jump out of an airplane. You'll see, you know, just, and, you know, rest in the fall, something like that, okay? So we say in Mahamudra Dzogchen, don't make anything. Don't make anything. Rest in natural awareness. Don't make anything, but then again, don't get caught in delusion. So there's always going to be a little bit of, like, you know, incomplete sentence. It's not an antidotal practice, like, you're nuts over here, so do this over here. It's not a causal practice. Just do this, just do this, just do this, and you'll end up here. It's a leap practice. So all we can say is, just sit there and be yourself. It'll happen. Yeah, all we need is 8 minutes, okay? All right. Have your eyes open, please. You're not going to stand in front of a crowd with your eyes closed. You know, they'll throw tomatoes at you. So, very good. Do your closing prayers. Just actions. May I quickly attain the aid of a Guru Buddha and lead all living beings without exception into that enlightened state. May the supreme jewel Bodhicitta not arisen, rise and grow, has arisen, not diminish, but increase more and more. In the land encircled by snow mountains, you are the source of all happiness and good. Please remain until samsara ends. The Buddha flourish. May the upholders of the teachings remain forever. May all migrators achieve happiness. May they fulfill all their temporary and ultimate goals. Teshvar, great treasure of objectless compassion, Anjeshri, master of flawless wisdom, Rajapani, destroyer of the entire host of Mars, Lonkapa, crown jewel of the snowy land sages, Losang Drakpa, I make requests at your holy feet. Thank you so much, everybody. It's like really enjoy everyone's energy and practice. Normally I'd feel like staying and doing Kala Chakra, but I should probably go home and lie down. But if people want to stay and do that, you know, you can do that, of course. Just a few announcements is Geshe will be leaving for Mongolia May 5th, actually, when the retreat starts. We need to do something for him before that, which we are. Good. And I looked at the calendar and for Buddha's birthday. Looks like the full moon falls on Friday the 9th. So that might be a good time to do it, actually, evening. Buddha's birthday, Sakadawa, like actually on the full moon day would be totally cool. Yeah, like this evening, then have a dance. Yeah. Huh? Yeah, why not? We can dance. Yeah, if you want to. The moon. Yeah, so. Yeah, so that's good. Sidewalk tomorrow. Monday. And Ellen will be here tomorrow. Yeah. Yeah, yes. Yeah, yes. So Monday, yeah. So we'll be sending out a reminder of starting Lotus Sutra practice or teaching on Monday. You don't have to have the book by then, but, the sutra, but we'll start. So it'll probably be the rest of the year if people are still interested. That's big. La la la. What else? Oh yeah, thanks. Right. So, thank you. Yeah, so Sunday, April 16th, which is Easter, so, which kind of, okay, well, that's it. So that's what it is. So I think we have a couple of people taking refuge, so that's cool. And wanted to make sure Geshe-la could be present for that. That's one reason we're doing it then. That's the dates either way don't work for him. go to the, if you have friends or family, you do, go to the sunrise Easter service or something. Yeah, so that's, I think we'll have a couple of people doing that, so that's great. Yeah, that's good. Exciting. And I'm trying to eat less sugar and less wheat so I don't get so many allergies. So then I don't take Sudafed, and then my blood pressure doesn't go up, and then I don't get ocular headaches with flashes and floaters, and then Sabrina's happy. Yeah, digestion too. Yeah, so taking care of myself. Yeah, it's good. Who knows? Maybe that's just has absolutely no, doesn't make any sense. Probably doesn't make any sense. Does it make sense? Yeah. Okay. You know, I think I am doing that. 2,000 milligrams. Maybe. I'll have to check, you know. Yeah, I'll have to check. Yeah, that I think I am. You know, I think I am, but I may not be, you know. You know, you go to Costco, you get the big jar, and then you run out, and then, you know, you don't get to Costco for a couple of weeks, you know, so this kind of thing. But, yeah, the best, but in Vajrayana, really, you know, we work with down energy, and we also work with up spiked energy, but overall, you know, we want that consistency, right? So, I mean, it obviously, it's maintenance. Most life is maintenance. So, you know, healthy maintenance too, just continuing to do, you know, the right stuff like that. So, yeah, thanks for reminding. I'm, you know, I might be out of it. Yeah. That's a good point. I'm always up for health tips. And as people know, I enjoy talking about aches and pains and stuff like that because in some Buddhist groups, they don't, you know, it's so mentalistic. So as tantricas, we're very interested in embodiment. You know, this very body is the Buddha, okay? This very place is Lotus Land. This very place is Shambhala. So we're very body-oriented. And we are imaginal body-oriented, Sambhogakaya too, and Vajra body. But, you know, we also just take care of our skandhas, you know, just take care of the, you know, ourselves too, right? That makes sense. It's all embodiment. So thank you, everybody. Just right. Appreciate it. Yeah, good.